This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Dale, and welcome to the Christian War Room. We are talking about the end times, and we are just working our way through various scriptures talking about the end. And I think my problem is I'm very often going off on a tangent, but then that is not a problem. That is okay. Why not? Okay, today we're going to look at a scripture which is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it starts off and it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was." Okay, that is Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. "But know this, that in the last days there'll be perilous times, dangerous times." And it's a big question. What does it mean, dangerous times? And when I look out there, and again, I mean, maybe, you know, we are talking about the millennials, and we're talking about the snowflakes and things like that. And maybe I'm sort of one of the generations. I can still see and relate to about three generations. It's sometimes really interesting when you talk to old people. I used to do this when especially after I became a Christian and I was in my early 20s. So this is going about 30 years ago. So I used to do this, and there were still a lot of old people around, and they were people who were born round about the turn of the century. And it was quite interesting to sort of glean some wisdom from them. Unfortunately, many of this generation have died, and many have gone to be with the Lord. But it was interesting, and there was a lot of stuff, you know, which kind of stuck with me when they talked about what it was like when they were young and the way they were living. I mean, certain things are the same all the time, you know. Youngsters are always a little bit obnoxious and rebellious. I was talking to my grandmother, and they got up to certain things and with the disapproval of their parents, and they were just sort of going into new territory, like new fashion and hairdos and things like that, their parents did approve of, and they gradually went through with this. And I think in my grandmother's case, she was sort of a young girl in the 30s, and she told me some of the stuff which was going on. And so there's something which is happening in every generation, but something which is quite distinct in the upcoming generation. And in our day and age is quite horrifying, and it's not been seen or heard of before. And one of the things we got here, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters and proud, blasphemers." Yeah. And we've got this there. It's all there today, and it's never been there to that extent in past generations. Lovers of money, I mean, I know my grandparents, say when they were kids, they were really struggling. Nobody had any money, so you didn't really pursue it. You were just making sure, you know, you put some bread on the table and you could live another day. That was really what their main desire was, and they did everything to try and make this possible. I know my granddad's case, he wasn't always, especially after the war, sticking to the law. He was doing some things which were very naughty, but he had to do it to survive. And sort of needs require this. He didn't disadvantage anybody. He was just breaking some government laws at the time. What else? But when you look at today, we've got people who are just money oriented. That's all they're keen about. You know, that's all that makes them drive. So they don't base their life on on what God might want them to do. God has got no relevance to them anymore. So they just pursue a lifestyle that's all about convenience, comfort, status, and riches. Yeah? And there have been sort of a shift has taken place where, for example, in my mother's generation, when a young girl got married, the aim was to build a family. Yeah, so I know, for example, my mother, she signed her pension rights over to my father, and she knew, like, if he died, she would get his pension. Yeah, so there was a thing going on, and the understanding was, you know, if people married, divorce was the extreme exception. It wasn't sort of like today that it was pretty much normality, and so they have to shape laws around this to cater for this, you know, the current lifestyle we are in. Again, the big question is, why are there so many divorces? And very often the answer is right here, you know. There are perilous times. But now this, the last days, there will come, in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Okay, so we've got all this stuff here. And when you sort of describe this character, I mean, do you want to hang out with a person who just talks about money, loves money, probably greedy and stingy at the same time? They are boasting all the time. Yeah? You know, look at me, how well I am, how good I am. They are proud. Yeah? And I find this as well as quite interesting. When you come to Christ, and I think one of the first lessons a young Christian goes through is that, not maybe straight away, but in some time in a Christian's life, your pride gets pretty much destroyed. You know, that everything you thought you were good at, suddenly you realize it doesn't mean anything. There's nothing to it. And it's tough, you know. It's really, really tough when God, you know, when God brings you up as a Christian, brings you to a place of maturity, and he starts stripping away all the stuff you thought was good about you. You know, all the pride stuff. And he teaches you to love somebody else. He teaches you, you know, not to love money because you love it and it'll just go away. You know, you'll find yourself in financial disaster. Yeah? Until you come to the point that you don't care about it anymore and money is just a tool. And then God starts giving it back to you. I mean, this is what's happening in a Christian's life. But what we find in this world, money is very important to people. And it's a lot of relationships, a lot of friendships that break apart because you know, somebody borrows money from somebody else, or there's some inconsistency about money, and people can't forgive, they can't forget, and that's over. You know, friendship is over. It's sad, very, very sad. People are unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, no self-control. They just do what they want. And we find this today as well, where people have got no regards for anybody else. They, you know, people get into relationships, they maybe, and we find this on both sides, I mean, male and female, women are just, you know, suffering from the same malaise as men do as well in this department, you know, that there's a huge amount of selfishness. So people go into a relationship not to what they can do. I mean, if you love somebody, you want to support your partner, you want to give to them, not necessarily expecting back. And a lot of people go into and walk into a relationship, they get married, and the only reason why they get married, both of them, very often, is what they can get out of it, out of this relationship for themselves. You know, feel good having somebody there and so on, so on. But it's not about, you know, what can I do for this person? It's very, very strange. One thing as well, which I noticed, was people are unthankful. It talks here about people not being grateful anymore, not, you know, being ungrateful, unthankful. They don't say thank you anymore. They don't appreciate if something good is done to them. But I call it, it's a generation of entitlement. People believe they are entitled in this world and society owes them. And that's what you find more and more and more. I mean, to some extent, laws have been created to produce this attitude, and where suddenly you've got a social strata where people believe they are owed by society. Now, the truth is, nobody is owed anything. Yeah? Nobody is owed anything at all. Exception maybe, you know, if you are a baby and somebody has given birth to you, you are owed love and care. Yeah? If but really, there's no entitlement as such, and yet we have got this generation who believes that this is the case. There's no meritocracy, or this whole concept of meritocracy has gone a little bit out of the window these days. The other one is, well, unloving, unforgiving. So the lack of forgiveness. I mean, I've seen so many people who have been justifiably, you know, done wrong to, sometimes very, and they just harbor the thing. I've met one one woman, one lady, so wider circle of friends, and she broke up with her husband, and her husband tried to financially ruin her and not give her what she was owed to, and she couldn't forgive him. And when I realized, you know, she was always talking about this guy, and the first time you listen to it, the second time you listen to it, and you sort of try to do this, the third time you listen to it, and then you meet her a couple of years later, and she still goes on about the same thing, and it becomes sort of a little bit like a broken record. And but what I could see is, and I had to sort of try and communicate this to her, and it was really, really difficult, that she really needs to forgive this guy. You know, it's happened, it's over, you know, this guy's moved on, and even though she's been left in dire straits and in the dumps, really, she needs to forgive, she needs to be able to move on, and she couldn't do it. She just couldn't do it. She wasn't a Christian, by the way. And when I sort of tried to convey the gospel, she wasn't really interested, but she needs, you know, she needs to come. It was destroying her. Unforgiveness is destroying you, and that is very important. You need to be forgiving, and if you don't forgive, if you hold to grudges, eventually it's gonna kill you. It's going to make you ill, it's going to make you sick, it's going to make you depressed. It's very, very difficult. We've got slanderers as well, and you see lots of it today and always. No self-control, despisers of good, traitors. Yeah, you find this. People betray anything for an advantage they may get. Yeah. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Yeah. And that pretty much describes our generation. Again, it's hard to... It's a bit like the frog in boiling water. Apparently, I heard when you put a frog in warm water and you heat up the water, the frog actually will jump out before it kills him. It's apparently, it's a myth. You know, if you keep a frog in boiling water, you can boil him and he will not realize that he's about to die. But the point I'm trying to make is that it's just very easy. We live in this generation and we accept things to be normal, which we shouldn't really accept to be normal. And it's only when you sort of take the time out and you look back, what was it like, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago? What were people like in those days? And where are we today? Are we a better set of people, or has everything gone down? And one thing I can tell you is, and I find that the things have gone down. People are no longer interested in the welfare of their neighbor. Yeah? This sense of solidarity and of, you know, I'm looking after you. If you're in trouble, I'm going to stop what I'm doing and I'm going to help you. The sense of comradeship, you know, of community or whatever you want to call it, I think it's lost. I don't see it anymore to that extent. So if you are in trouble, you are in trouble. Yeah. It's none of somebody else's business. People will leave you on the road dying. There was there are a couple of examples where here in England recently, where people had an accident and they were in dire straits, and the amount of people who went past this accident didn't stop to help, even though it was obvious that help was required, even if it is just a phone call to the emergency services, was just horrendous. Yeah, and that's something which we, as Christians, we need to be aware of this. As a church, we need to, you know, to encourage one another not to be like that, even though this is a modern standard, you know, the way people are. But also we need to read the signs of the times, yeah, and take the time to look back and you know, compare to what's happening today and come to the conclusion that Jesus is coming back soon and that we are in the last days, because we are living in perilous times, in dangerous times. Okay, then we are looking at all the preachers, yeah? And it goes back, Paul talks about to Timothy about the preachers. And he talks about these people who have, they pursue pleasure rather than lovers of God. And they've got a form of godliness, but they deny its power. And from such people turn away. That's what he says. You know, there are people out there Jesus talks about people who are performing miraculous signs and miracles and wonders, cast out demons, do all sorts of stuff. But these people are not Christians. Yeah? Jesus doesn't know them. He says, "Go away from me, you doers of iniquity." Yeah, and judgment day. So they're just, I don't know what they are, but they are people who have never come to Christ, who have never received him in their hearts. When Jesus was knocking on the door of their hearts, this is sort of my interpretation of this thing, they didn't open the door, they put a deadlock on it to make sure he can't come in. And they carried on doing their religious stuff, you know, using Christianity as some sort of religion. And again, that's very dangerous. But here we've got people who have got, you know, a form of godliness, but they deny its power. And the reason may be because all they have is just a form. You know, they are just good talkers. And, they know the Christianese stuff, and they, they work their ways into homes. And they creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded on with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So these are people, you know, they are good people. Paul refers to women here. They work their ways into the households, and these guys just come in to try and exploit them. And maybe that is some of the stuff which is happening today as well. And it talks about in the latter days, you know, in the last days, dangerous time will come. These people will come in, and they will do all this stuff, you know. He makes a comparison with James and Jambres. So they try to contest the leadership with Moses. They said, "Moses, this is an old guy. We've got enough. We are taking over the show." And they were judged for it. These guys resisted the truth. And so these preachers, have got a form of godliness, they deny the truth in the same way. And they are men of corrupt minds, disapprove concerning the faith, and they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs was also. Yeah? Eventually, God is going to judge them. Eventually, people are going to see for what these people are. And we see that that all their efforts will come to nothing. But that is what we are dealing with. Now, if you take this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and you compare this to what is going on today, there's a fit. Yeah? And if you compare this, you know, you probably could have taken it to other periods of times as well. So, for example, if you go to the Nazi period and you say, right, let's take this stuff and see, you know, what was going on in the Nazi period. And is it a fit? Is it not a fit? And you can say, no, not really. There were blasphemers. There was no doubt about this. But they had a lot of self-control in those days. There was a high level of shall I say, righteousness, in the sense that people wouldn't steal, they wouldn't do certain things. And if they did, the whole community was getting so angry about it that they would sort them out themselves. They had a lot of self-control, that was sure, in this period within the Third Reich, when you see what people were doing, how they were living. There was a great sense of duty. There wasn't a sense of entitlement at all. So people were working hard to make a living and so on. They weren't necessarily lovers of pleasure. They were lovers of discipline. And so a lot of this stuff, you know, when you take this and you try to take this footprint and you compare it to a generation, you find if you go in any generation before us, some of it fits, but not all of it. Yeah? But when I look at the 21st century and I look at the West and I look pretty much, you know, a lot of other cultures are also influenced by the West, and you take this footprint here and you sort of compare with the footprints you find in different societies, there's a huge amount of agreement, you know, that people have completely lost the plot. They're no longer living for the community. They're no longer interested in anybody else. They're just interested in me, myself, and I, the unholy trinity. And there we've got a lot of problems in our society. Politicians don't understand this. They try to cater for this. They try to cater for immorality. They try to legislate to make immorality possible. They legislate for selfishness, to allow selfishness to go into society. They legislate for for lack of self-control. And it's a very difficult thing for politicians as well, because society is being completely gone out of control. Morality cannot be enforced through politics, and it's very difficult. You can try and encourage it to some extent through politics, but it's not there. When people, avoid God, when they run away from God, that is pretty much the end result, that it's a society which is not worth living in. Okay, I'm an old man, or almost old. What do I think? Number one is, I think that society has changed a great deal. It has changed a great deal. When I look at, the way people are these days, I don't really enjoy living in my current generation. We have got tons of gadgets, we have got lots of things, but there are many nice people around. There isn't that much good going on. I remember sort of coming to this country, and I'm looking at the late 80s. And, in one instance, I was just in a tent on a camping site. And I was just, touring the country with a motorbike. I was 18 years old. And people, they just invited me into their campsite. So there was one couple, they had a couple of kids and so on. They just invited me in, and they fed me. They talked to me. They gave me tea and coffee. And then I went back to my tent. I slept there. The next day I moved on. And that was normal. That was happening all the time. Today, I don't think this would happen anymore. People wouldn't be concerned. I mean, I can imagine, people saw me in the tent, they saw the motorbike, they saw that I was sleeping, and they thought, let's invite this guy, he's all by himself, he doesn't know what to do. Maybe, he wants to be with some other people and spend the evening with some other people. And we had a good time, it was all very gentle, very nice. And then the next day I moved on and I carried on touring, at the time touring England with my motorbike. Very different times today. And 30 years down the road, I doubt whether it would happen that easy. And I saw this quite frequently, and people were just having a sense of concern for one another, which unfortunately is gone out of the window. Okay, we have got about 7 minutes left. Are we going to go through the next scripture? Yeah, let's go through the next one. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, it says, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. Yeah. Okay, so where is the promise of his coming? Where's the promise of his coming? Where's the promise of his coming? And it says here that following their own sinful desires. Yeah, and it's a thing, as soon as you acknowledge God, you have to deal with your sin. As soon as you, if you accept in your own mind there is a God, you are accountable for your sin and you have to deal with it somehow. So a lot of people, they choose to, and that's what I find all the time, they mock Christianity. They try to disprove Christianity, and the easiest way they do it, they blame Rome and they say, oh, look at what the church has done and all the wickedness and the pedophilia and all that stuff, the cover-ups and one thing after the other. So that's what they come up with, and that's sort of really bizarre, yeah, really, really bizarre. And then they excuse themselves for not believing in a God. Or the next one is, there's a child dying in a car accident, and I met one guy, and he came to Christ and was interested, and I'm sure, I don't think he ever broke through, but. But his argument, to not follow God was that a little child died in an accident, and then his statement was, how can a God allow this, that this child is dead? And that was the end of it. He just walked away, didn't want to know. I don't know what he's doing now. I haven't seen him for 30-odd years. I don't know where he is doing, what he is doing, but it's a problem, This was a reason for him to walk away from Christ. Yeah. just this one thing, and it's just total deception, total and utter deception. It's tough. And so people are scoffing, yeah, and they scoff at God, and in doing so, they can justify their own sinful desires. That's what I see in the scripture. And then the biggie is, where's the promise of his coming for, you know, for all the time, forever? You know, people have been talking about it, and he didn't come. And then, what does the Bible say? He will come like a thief in the night, especially for those who do not expect him. So suddenly it'll just hit them on the head. And yesterday I was watching a film about the rapture. And it is just people who have got ideas, you know, what is the world likely to look like after the rapture takes place? There are a couple of scriptures which sort of seem to indicate that, you know, the one that's holding him back, that's the Antichrist, has to be taken away. And that could be the Holy Spirit, or it could be the church. And now the Holy Spirit is manifested through the church. So which way you interpret the scripture doesn't really matter. But once, you know, the church is taken out of the way, once the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, then there's nothing to stop the Antichrist. There's nothing to stop the enemy of God. Now, this world is going to be a horrible place when this happens, when people have got no restraint anymore, and when sinful nature is just controlling them. And when we look at this list of let me just go through this list one more time before we finish here. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And when you look at this list, you know, this is going to be, after the rapture, when this happens, this is the way I understand it, this is going to be on steroids. People are going to be so steeped in wickedness that this place is not going to be a nice place to live. The best place, I think the best thing to do is, when it happens, the rapture, and you find yourselves in this situation, is to, you know, to take your four things and to head for the hills, to get away from people, because people are going to be a big problem in those days, especially after the restraint has been taken off. And that is going to be a big, big problem. When I saw this rapture film, they tried to portray this in this time, you know, the people just went insane because of, number one, all the people missing, loved ones missing, children missing, babies in the womb just disappearing. And then people just being exposed to the wrath of God and the enemy of God taking his foothold and using mankind to spite God. Horrible times. So again, we are talking about the Christian War Room. We need to get the people ready. We need to warn them. We also need to leave some information behind for those who will be left here after the rapture, who have missed it. And we need to let them know, you know, what the gospel is all about, and that they still have got a chance to find Christ through the tribulation period. It's nothing worse than eternal damnation. There's no doubt about that. Okay, we're at the end for today. Let's have a time of prayer. Lord, we want to praise you. We want to praise you, Lord, that you have given us all these, you know, prophecies and indications about the last days, that we can see that the time is near, and that we can say, Maranatha, Lord, come soon. We pray, Lord, that you will prepare us in these last days, that you will help us and enable us to reach out to those who are lost. Lord, that there will be a harvest of people to come in, Lord, before you come, and that they will be spared the most horrible time this earth has ever seen. I pray, Lord, help us and keep us prepared. Make us worthy to escape all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate, or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.